in my haste to congratulate our newest grandma, our newest Yaya, I forgot to congratulate our newest Pupu. Papu. And so congratulations, Michael, all right? Your old man, your grandpa Michael, eh? Amen, Grandpa Michael. Looking a little bit grayer this morning there, brother. Yeah. More tired, eh? You have no idea. So much for empty nesters, brother. Eh? So you, not only did all your kids come back, now you got your grandkid and Ruby as well, all living in your house, eh? The blessings of God, brother. All right. So Titus chapter 2, we're just going to read verses 3 to 5 this morning. The title of the message is Influence That Echoes Into Eternity. We are stepping into one of the pastoral letters written by the Apostle Paul towards the very end of his ministry. Paul had left Titus on the island of Crete, a place that was well known for its moral corruption, church, a place that was known for its disorder. And he left them there. The Bible tells us that he left him there to set in order the things that are wanting and to establish strong, godly churches in Titus 1:5. This letter is written around 60 to 65 AD. It was written during a time when the early church was not only growing, but also facing some hardships. It was facing some false teachers that were creeping into the church to bring their damnable heresies, as the Bible calls it. It was facing some cultural pressure, and it was already starting to stare down the face of just trying to fight some spiritual compromises that were entering into the churches there. But Paul's purpose in writing this epistle is a deeply practical one. Paul is not just concerned with doctrine in belief, but doctrine lived out in daily life. And in chapter 2, he shifts from confronting false teachers to building godly character within the church. And Paul here, he speaks to different groups and shows how sound doctrine produces sound living. And when he speaks specifically here to the aged women and younger women in verses 3 to 5, he's laying out a divine pattern for influencing people, for discipleship and discipling people. And he's laying out there a divine pattern for leaving, ladies, a spiritual legacy within not only the home, but the local New Testament church as well. So let me encourage you this morning, this Mother's Day, this passage is not merely instruction, it is a vision of how God uses women across generations to preserve truth, to shape families, and to display the beauty of the gospel in everyday life. And so he says here, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, in verse number 2, have a look at it with me, he says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands." Look at this. "That the word of God be not" what? Blasphemed. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get stuck into it this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this morning for this passage of Scripture. Lord, we thank you that you haven't left us guessing about the roles of not only mums and grandmas and women, but for everyone. Father, we know what our God-given roles are because you have told us in the Word of God. So, Father, I pray this morning, even though this message is obviously geared for mums and grandmas on Mother's Day, Lord, but we pray, Lord, that you would give us a sense of truth to fulfill each and every role that you've given each and every person in this room this morning. So, Father, we pray that you'd speak to our hearts and you'd open our eyes. Lord, I pray that you'd give us a tender heart, a heart to receive the Word of God, and that you'd help us to think on these things, to convict us, to change us, to encourage us, Lord, if we needed to rebuke us. Lord, that we may leave this place this morning a little bit more like the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you. We love you, Father. I pray you'd have your way with the preacher this morning, Lord. I pray you'd help me to get out these things, these thoughts that you've been just speaking to my heart about this week, and that you'd help me to be a blessing to these, my brethren. Lord, we love you. We thank you, and we just commit this preaching time to you in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. I'm going to say some things this morning, church. I pray you would take them as off the Lord. Mother's Day is a blessing, but it can also be complicated, church. I struggle to prepare for days like today. For some, it is joy. For others, it is loss. I was driving past the cemetery this morning at the front, and I couldn't help but think of my mum, who's in heaven this morning. And I used to look forward to. I haven't had a Mother's Day with my mum now for over 10 years, and it was just going after church, going and just having lunch with her and just sitting with her and just talking to her. And I miss that. So I understand that, you know, it is a joyful time, but for others it is loss. For others it is longing. For others it's just a time of silence. So today what we're going to do is we're going to widen the lens of what the day is about. Not away from motherhood, but into God's greater design, folks. God has given every woman, a ministry. And that ministry is one of influence. Influence. Now, let me tell you this morning, folks, not all women are called to bear children, but all are called to bear fruit for God. John 15, verse 8 says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye, all of us, everybody, bear what? Much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples," the Bible says. Again, not all women raise children, but many raise lives and they shape hearts and they steady souls of men. And this passage in Titus, folks, listen, it's not just about motherhood. It is about God's calling on every woman to leave a spiritual legacy when their time on earth is done. So let me give you some things to encourage you. Point number one, if you take notes. If you are going to leave a spiritual legacy, it is going to be from a life that models godliness, folks. Point number one, if you're going to leave a spiritual legacy, it is going to be from a life that models godliness. Titus was, Paul wrote here to Titus in Titus 2:3 in our text, he says, "As behavior as becometh what? Holiness." Behavior as becometh holiness. Folks, before a woman ever teaches, she testifies. Before a lady ever teaches someone, she gives a testimony of a life. And I want you to notice here that Paul begins not with instruction. He doesn't begin here with a list that with things that you must do and learn and apply in order to have the kind of influence that God wants you to have. No, no. What he does is he starts with character. He starts with the intents of the heart. He starts with, hey, lady, the real you. with the person that you are on the inside when it's just you and your God. And I reckon he does this because he understands God's priority about influence. Influencing people for the Lord, folks, is not first verbal. It is visible. It is visible, church. Your walk is what is first noticed before they will ever listen to your talk. Take Mary, Mary of Bethany. Let's go in our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 10, look at verse number 38. It's a very familiar passage. We're going to be looking at a few ladies in the Bible this morning. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Now, it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, does not thou care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Folks, the reality is when we read this portion of Scripture that we know, Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet. It tells me that Mary valued his word over activity. She valued the words of Christ over the service of Christ. And listen, church, that is the way it should be. The person of Jesus has to be the preeminent thing in my life, even before the service of Jesus Christ. Who he is and my devotion to him comes before what I do for him. Mary does that here. She demonstrated devotion. She demonstrated devotion over distraction. I believe a struggle for every man, woman, and child in this room this morning. Pastor, how do you know that? Because the Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." 1 Corinthians 10:13. We read on there, later Mary would anoint the Lord Jesus Christ, an act remembered forever. And Jesus said, "Mary hath chosen that good part." Folks, her life preached louder than her words. Understand, ladies, that your life will preach first and foremost and louder than anything that will ever come out of your mouth. It is the same with another lady in the Bible, Hannah. In 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2, we see a struggling woman. We see a woman of deep sorrow. But we also see a woman of prayer. We see a woman who kept a vow. Her word mattered to her. And so she gave Samuel back to the Lord just as she had promised. And that very character, my dear church, shaped one of the greatest prophets of God to have ever walked the face of the earth. You see, church, before she ever raised Samuel, Hannah walked with God. If you are ever going to leave a spiritual legacy, it's going to be from a life that models godliness. Understand, ladies, this morning, your walk with God is shaping someone, even when you don't see it. There are eyes on your life that you may never realize are watching you. Children, younger women, friends, even people in this church watching from a distance. And they are not first listening to what you say, they are reading how you live. The quiet consistency of your life is preaching a message, my dear sister, each and every day of your life. Let me encourage you this morning, ladies. Holiness is not outdated. Holiness is where the power of influence lies. You see, folks, we live in a world that laughs and mocks at things like purity. They make fun of things like faithfulness and they downplay godliness. A life that is set apart for God shines brighter than ever in our world this morning, church. Don't buy the lie that holiness is restrictive. Let me encourage you, ladies. Holiness is influential. It is what gives you weight to your words and it gives credibility to your testimony. A godly life cuts through the noise of this pathetic culture that we live in, folks. And the people that need to be ministered to by our God are watching you. Holiness is influential for the Lord. Someone said, private devotion produces public impact. I believe that. What no one sees matters more than what everyone sees, church. The time, ladies, that you spend with God in the quiet place, the prayers that no one hears, the battles that you win in private, that is where influence is formed. Understand in our example here, Mary didn't become who she was in Luke chapter 10 in a moment. She had already learned to sit at his feet. She had already learned to sit at the feet of Jesus. Listen, folks, this wasn't her first time. This was her character. Hannah didn't all of a sudden become a woman of faith. She had a history with her God. Who you are alone with God will eventually show up in how you live before others, church. The greatest thing a woman can pass on is not advice, but of life lived in holiness for God. You see, guys, advice can be forgotten, but a life leaves an imprint, church. Kids may not remember every word you say, but they will remember what mattered to you. They will remember if Christ was truly first in your life. They will remember if your faith was real. So the question this morning is not just what am I saying? The question this morning is, what is my life preaching? What is my life saying? Because a life that models godliness doesn't just influence a moment, folks, it shapes a generation. Let me give you another one. Point two. If you're going to leave a spiritual legacy, it is going to be with a voice that invests in others. Titus 2:4, have a look at our text. Go back to Titus 2 and verse number 4. It says that they may teach the young women. The Apostle Paul is writing to this Titus, a pastor of the church there, and he's saying, listen, teach the older women to use their voice to teach the younger women, to invest into their life. If these women in your church, Titus, are going to leave a lasting spiritual legacy for the next generation, they're going to have to use their voice to invest in the life of others. That they may teach the young women. That is intentional speech, church. That's not some casual conversation. That is not a text on the phone. That is not having an input in the WhatsApp chat. It is a purpose, being purposeful in the investment that you make into people's lives. Now, before we open up another Bible example, let me ask you something, ladies. Who's on your mind right now that has been that for you? That had a voice in your life. Not a famous preacher, not some stage personality, but a woman who spoke into your life at the right time. But a woman who spoke into your life in the right way, and something that she said stuck. And it shaped you. And it steadied you. And it stayed with you long after that conversation had ended. You see, folks, that's what Paul is talking about here. When he's saying to the older ladies, teach the young ones. Make it count. A voice that invests in others, that echoes into eternity, as our title suggests. Another two famous ladies in the Bible that you would have heard of. Take Lois and Eunice, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, and 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Take Lois and Eunice. You know them well, folks. You know them well by now. I'm sure that they're being talked about all over this country this morning. This Mother's Day. They passed on some things with their voice to some people, but they affected one little boy. And they passed down to this little boy, they passed unfeigned faith, the Bible says. And they passed this unfeigned faith to this little boy named, I was going to say Georgie, but no, it's not Georgie. It's Timothy. And Timothy knew scriptures from a child. Did you notice in that story that Paul didn't credit a pastor first? No, Paul, pointed by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he pointed to two women. Two women whose voice shaped this little boy. Those voices shaped the little boy so God would be able to use him for the glory of his name. Their voice shaped a pastor. Their voice shaped a missionary. Their voice shaped a leader. And their influence, Lois and Eunice's influence, echoes in eternity, folks. Take a lesser known lady called Priscilla in the Bible, but with a voice just as influential for the glory of God. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 18, please. Are we okay this morning? Are you with me? Acts chapter 18, I want you to see this. It's something that I've read probably 1,000 times and I've missed it. So it's not new, but it's a new thought for me. Acts chapter 18, look at verse number 24 in Acts 18. And a certain Jew named who? Apollos, okay? Born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the what? Mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. So here we have this apostle born in Alexandria, a Jewish man, and he was a man that God describes as mighty in the scriptures. He was an educated man in the Word of God, and he was a minister of the Word of God, and God was using him to perform and to minister to people, this great man, Apollos. Look at verse number 25. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And I want you to notice here, church, listen, verse number 26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. He's going about and he's preaching the word of God, he's going to the Jews. And he's preaching Jesus Christ and trying to reach this guy. And he says, yeah, look at this. Look at this, number 26 again. And began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and who? Aquila and Priscilla had heard. What's the next word in the Bible? What's the next word? They. Do you notice it doesn't say he? It doesn't say Aquila? It doesn't say the husband? It doesn't say the man? It says they. That is talking about Aquila and Priscilla. And they took him unto them, both of them, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And here we see a woman of influence, folks. Alongside her husband, Aquila, Priscilla helped instruct mighty in the scriptures Apollos. Quietly, accurately, and faithfully. She used her knowledge. She used her voice to build others up. Ladies, use that. You don't know who it is that God has you talking to. What God is going to do. One of the things, look, over the last few months, we've been, I had the pleasure of discipling Ashlyn, and we meet regularly at Ashlyn and Vicky's place, and Vicky joins in, and we go there on a Tuesday night, and it's usually me, Corinne, and Kaylee. Corinne hasn't been able to the last few times, she's not well, but and we go then, we're going through the A to Z's, and we have a great time talking about the scriptures, and Ashlyn usually bakes something. You got a good baker there, all right, bro, those brownies, you know, they're just, I go there for the ministry, but the brownies are good too, okay? And we go there and we talk about the things of God, and we, you know, we have a conversation over a cup of tea, and we're doing the discipling. And I love it, I love it, I love it when my wife chimes in. She doesn't say much. But when she chimes in and says something, I listen. Because she has a woman's perspective on what is being taught. And she has this desire to use her voice to invest into others, and she talks with them and she helps them. That's why she's over there this morning. Ladies, you can have influence for the Lord if you speak for Him and invest in the life of others. Understand this, ladies, every woman is teaching something by her words and by her tone and even by her priorities. You are always communicating what matters most to you, not just in what you say, but in how you say it, what you emphasize, what you get passionate about, and what you overlook too, by the way. If Christ is central in your life, it will come out in your conversations. If the world is shaping your thinking, my friends, that will be evident as well. Understand, your voice is constantly forming values in someone else. Ladies, the younger ladies need guidance in a very, very confused culture, folks. Listen, church, we are living in a time where womanhood is being redefined. We're living in a time where women are being distorted and women are being devalued. And the world may be loud and the world may be in your face, but listen, the world is not right. And if godly voices stay silent, the worldly voices will fill the gap, folks. That's why this matters, ladies. Because there are younger women trying to figure out some stuff. Ladies, there are some women in this room who are trying to figure out some things about life. They're trying to figure out things about marriage. They're trying to figure out some things about motherhood. We have some people in this room that are trying to figure out some things about what identity they are and what they prioritize, and they are desperately seeking someone who will lovingly and wisely and biblically guide them to the truth, and it's not going to be pastor. They're looking for someone to come along beside them, put their arm around their shoulder and say, this is what I've learned. Not harshly, not critically, but faithfully. Yes, motherhood is a high calling, but there's something that supersedes it, folks. Spiritual motherhood is one of the highest callings in the church. And this is bigger than biology, church. We're talking about a legacy this morning, a legacy for God. Some of the greatest impacts in the kingdom of God have come through women who simply took the time to invest into somebody else. A conversation, a word of encouragement, a moment of correction, a shared truth from the scripture. God uses those moments to shape life for eternity. And sure, ladies, we are a fundamental independent Baptist church. And you may never stand behind a pulpit and preach a message, but you can shape someone who will. You may not realize it this morning, my dear sisters, but someone is learning how to follow God by just listening to your voice. And they're learning. They're learning what marriage should look like. They are learning what faith looks like in hardship. They are learning what priorities look like under pressure. I'm so proud to lead this church with a bunch of women that love their Lord and care about their God and have a desire to influence the next generation of ladies. But let's not drop the ball, folks. The question this morning is not, am I teaching? The question this morning is, what am I teaching? Am I pointing them to Christ or just giving them my opinion? Am I grounding them in the truth? Or just helping them to cope? Because a voice that invests in others doesn't just fill space, it builds lives for Christ's sake. And the words you speak today, my dear sisters, may echo in someone's life for many, many years to come. Let me give you another one here, point number three. If you're going to leave a spiritual legacy, it's going to be with a love that builds and strengthens. My dear sisters, if you're going to leave something for the next generation, if you're going to leave a spiritual legacy, it's going to be with a love that builds and strengthens. In Titus chapter 2, verses 4, he says, to love, and he says this, to be discreet, chaste, and keep us at home. Folks, this is not restriction, this is foundational. To God, that God's people would look at the Bible God's eyes and not the world's. Because this sort of stuff is offensive to them. God's word is offensive to them. How about you, folks? Can I ask you this morning with a hand on my heart? Listen, is God wrong here? Did God make a mistake? God forbid, he does all things well. And God here, church, he's highlighting the ability of a woman to create stability. Heaven knows my wife does that in my house. Because her husband sometimes is a bit loco, right? That's crazy in Spanish, right? Sometimes he goes off the rails and we need the stabilizing force there. Why did you use one of my knives on your motorbike to tighten a screw, right? When you've got a garage full of screwdrivers. It's stability. It brings, I need to take a moment of pause and learn my lesson, right? They create stability. They nurture. They strengthen. These things, they matter to God. Listen, folks, do they matter to you? Let me tell you something. If it wasn't for my wife, I don't think this church would have me as a pastor today. Because when I stood on the other side of that doctor's table and he said, Gus, you have a renal cell carcinoma, you have cancer. Ministering in the church was the last thing that I thought of, folks. I just wanted to dig a hole, crawl in, bury it, and see you later, mate. And it was my wife who grabbed me and said, honey, the encouragement, the stability and the nurturing and the strength. Women, listen, you can do that. These things matter to God. Do they matter to you? Let me encourage you something, ladies. Listen, a house doesn't fall apart in a blink of an eye. A house doesn't fall apart in a moment. It falls apart when what holds it together is missing. And God says things like love and purity and discretion and faithfulness. This is the kind of stuff that holds everything together in a home. And we see examples of this in the Bible. You know, we see a lady named Abigail in 1 Samuel chapter 25. Abigail, her life preaches this very lesson, church. I believe that's why God put it in there. Here we have a woman placed in a very difficult situation. For the sake of time, I'm not going to go into it, but you know the story. Abigail is married to a very, very foolish man. A gluttonous man, a man that enough is never enough, a man that doesn't know the will of God if it slapped him in the face, a man that doesn't walk with God, a man that doesn't know what God desires, and she's married to this guy. And she's living there in a tense, volatile season of life. And everything is about to fall apart. He has wronged the king, the king of Israel, King David. David's running for his life. He's the true king of Israel. And this foolish man, he wrongs David and offends him. And now David is on his way to her house. And he's not on his way to talk, folks. He's on his way with anger. And with weapons. And with death. With the very intent to kill them all. As he was entitled to. And she understands some things, folks. She understands that one wrong move and one delayed response. And now lives hang in the balance. Oh, but Abigail steps in. Abigail steps in. And she is wise. And she is discerning. And boy, oh boy, isn't she ever courageous, folks. She doesn't react emotionally. She responds spiritually. She doesn't inflame the situation. She diffuses it. She doesn't tear down. She builds and she strengthens and she solidifies and she stabilizes. And she goes out and she humbles herself and she speaks with wisdom and she acts with urgency. And through her love and through her discretion and through her godly character, she stops destruction in its very tracks. And David says in 1 Samuel chapter 25, verses 32 and 33, David makes a declaration here. And he says this, and David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which has sent thee this day to meet me. And he says this in verse number 33. Listen up. He says this. And blessed be thy advice. And blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. Blessed be thy advice. Blessed be thou, Abigail. And folks, this is King David. This is the sweet psalmist of Israel. This is the man after God's own heart. This is the man who blessed the nobody. Don't miss it, folks. David didn't just see Abigail. He saw God working through her. Folks, listen, ladies, you don't need to be an influencer. You just have to let God influence through you. One woman's wisdom preserved lives. One woman's response restrained destruction. One woman's godly love changed the outcome of an entire situation. Ladies, never underestimate what God can do through a woman who walks in wisdom and loves. So much for biblical Christianity stifling the ability of a woman to serve the Lord. Amen. You may not always control the situation you are in. You may not be able to control the people around you, but you can control how you respond, and that response can change everything. And there are homes today that are either being strengthened or strained by the spirit that is carried into them. A harsh word can escalate. A careless attitude can divide. Oh, but a godly, gracious, discerning response can calm, it can restore, and it can protect, folks. Ladies, your love has the power to build or to break. Your words have the power to steady or to stir up. And like Abigail, God may place you in a moment where your response is the turning point. So the question is not, is this situation difficult? The question is, will I respond in a way that reflects the character of my God? Because a love that is shaped by God doesn't just feel deeply, it acts wisely, it speaks carefully, and it strengthens everything it touches. Now, I've got one more point, which is a quick point, but I believe, church, that it's probably the most important one. Last point. If you're going to leave a spiritual legacy, it's going to be with a legacy that reaches beyond biology. Let me say that again to you. If you ladies are going to leave a spiritual legacy, it's going to be with a legacy that reaches far beyond biology. Now, we gently lift our eyes beyond motherhood alone, folks, because the Bible does that. Not every woman in the Bible was known for who she gave birth to. But many are remembered for what they built in the life of others. Because God meshes legacy different than we do, church. See, folks, there are women in Scripture who didn't just shape a home. They shaped a generation for God. And Deborah is one of them in Judges chapter 4 and 5. Who's familiar with Deborah in the Bible? She's an Old Testament judge. Maybe today, ladies, if you're not familiar with Deborah, go read Judges chapters 4 and 5. Deborah was a prophetess. Deborah was a judge of the nation, a judge of Israel. Deborah was a leader in Israel. Dispensation, I know, but she was a leader nonetheless. In a time of fear and spiritual decline, she stood with clarity and courage. Say, Pastor, why did God use a woman? Because the men went missing, folks. The men went spiritually absent at this time. The men were hesitant. Leadership was lacking. And God used Deborah to step in, fill the void. And she spoke truth, and she gave direction. She strengthened others to act on behalf of God. And through her influence, God brought a difference to the entire nation of Israel. A woman's influence is not limited by her biology. It is defined by her obedience to her God. And you may not be called to raise children, but you are called to raise influence for God. You may not shape a home in the conventional sense, but you are called to shape lives. And God has placed people in your path, not by accident, but by assignment. I like what Pastor Skelly said at the conference in Queensland. I think I'll never forget it. Your confinement is your assignment. Whatever God has given you or not given you, that, my dear sister, is your God-given ministry. And your time to influence for God is now. Because we have to understand this, that spiritual legacy has zero to do with who you gave birth to. It's about who you invest in. Who you speak to, who you reach out to, who you spend your time with. So the question is not, do I have children, but am I using my life for God's purpose? Because, my dear sister, a life surrendered to God will always reach further than you could ever have imagined. Let me finish. We're done. Titus chapter 2 shows us something powerful. It shows us that God has given every woman in this room, a life to model, a voice to invest, a love to build, and a legacy to live. And my dear sister in Christ, this morning, let me tell you, this is not a small thing. This is not a small calling. This is the kingdom of God lived out each and every day of your life. So let me challenge you this morning. Who are you influencing right now? What is it, church? What is it, my dear sister in Christ, that you are passing on? What will remain when your life is done? Because influence is not optional, folks. Influence is inevitable. The question this morning is, will it point people towards Christ? And listen to me this morning. Look up here for a moment, folks. This is not talking about having the perfect life. It's talking about having a surrendered life. This is talking about you can influence for the kingdom of God. You can influence for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, warts and all, folks. But you have to surrender yourself afresh to the Lord Jesus. Some of you, my dear sisters, are walking through joy. Some of you are walking through weariness. Some of you are walking through unanswered prayers. But your circumstances do not cancel the calling of God on your life, my dear sister. God can and will use your life where you are if you would but just surrender to Him afresh. In this season, with what you have, the circumstances of life right now, let me encourage you, it is enough. So don't step back. Don't settle. Don't believe the lie that your life, well, doesn't really matter. I want to encourage you this morning. Keep walking with God. Keep speaking the truth. Keep loving faithfully, because a life given to God is never, ever wasted. And a legacy built for Him, oh, my dear sister, a legacy built for Him is going to outlive you. Amen. Let's stand. We'll pray and we'll be done. Let's stand. We're just going to pray, and then we're going to sing a hymn. Let's bow our heads, folks, and let's pray. Father, we thank you today for every woman in this place. We thank you this morning, Lord, for the mothers, the grandmothers. We thank you for the spiritual mentors and for those who quietly carry burdens that no one else can see. And Father, you know every story in this room this morning. Lord, you know the joys and you know the struggles and you know the prayers that have gone unanswered. And you know the seasons that feel heavy. And today, this morning, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen every woman here, not just to endure, but to go ahead and live forth and influence for her God. Father, would you grant them grace to walk in holiness when no one is watching? Would you give them wisdom to invest in others with patience and truth? Would you give them love that builds and restores and strengthens, dear Lord? And Father, would you give them a vision that reaches far beyond the moment into eternity? Father, I pray for those who are hurting. Would you comfort them? Father, I pray for those who feel unseen. Remind them, Lord, that you see and that you care and that they matter to you. Father, I pray for those who feel uncertain. Anchor them in your purpose. And Lord, would you stir a fresh determination even this day, this Mother's Day, to keep walking with you, to keep trusting you, to live faithfully for you, no matter the season, no matter the circumstances. May every life represented in this church this morning leave a legacy that points others to our wonderful, wonderful Savior, Redeemer, and friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name. And all of God's people said, amen. Thank you for